What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Yeah, so the people at home listening, we changing stuff up, baby. Okay?
Kind of.
Popular music,
I don't know.
Okay?
I mean, we've done this a couple of times before.
Except this time we like knew going in. This time we know going in that,
I will
that Zendaya
say,
is a supporting role.
So this is thing, though.
I always heard, again, because I've never read the books. I thought she was going to be like, it was always described to me that she was... like, not the lead of this one, but, like, in the forefront from her POV. And I was like...
I mean, if this was nominated for an Oscar, right, she would be nominated for Best Lead Actress.
Over
you
the mom?
You think over...
Yeah.
The mom, man. The mom
you
was...
You think so? Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That mom was the lead, bro.
100%.
Nah, she was...
No, man. That mom had part. That mom had some lines. Like, no. I felt like...
I bet if we put the scene side by side, she does have less. I keep wanting to say...
It's not about... It's. I mean, I do think Zendaya is in this movie more than Rebecca Ferguson, but it's also just about, like, the storyline and impact. She's, like... Especially for this movie, it's, like, she's the main love interest. She's the... She... It's, like... This, you know,
the poster is the two of them.
Yeah,
that's because that's Zendaya, baby.
But it's she.
Mom in the visions. The mom
she's
over
the
here.
Opening
no.
She's the opening
baby.
Narration of the first movie, right? She's the opening. She's the opening narration of the first movie.
Yeah, but that's them just trying to make her a bigger part in the first movie.
And I feel like this is part of why Jarrah has this feeling, though, too, because it is like it does shift. They're like, they want us to know, like, oh, Zendaya's in this movie.
Yeah.
And then she's only in flashbacks and stuff.
Well, that's in the first one. Right.
First one.
But we're
right.
talking about Dune Part 2.
But even in Dune Part 2, man, I feel you, Bray. Like, I remember thinking while watching this movie.
Like, well, that's not a transition.
I'm upset. It's not
a transition. I'm saying
no. You were speaking about
James.
The first one, and I just wanted everyone to know we're talking about Dune Part 2.
But why are you punctuating? If it's not a transition, why are you,
James? You shouldn't even acknowledge
there's
it.
There's like a miniature pause you did, and then the way you said it was with an emphasis. Part 2. Heard it.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Wow. All right, well.
Okay, I mean, if you have nothing else to say, I guess we should start the show.
That was terrible, for the record.
For the record.
Jonathan Raylock. James III. Jarrah Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what
it is. Black men can't jump. In
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Happy birthday, my son.
nephew, but yes, you almost got it.
Dear nephew.
Yeah.
So Dune is basically Star Wars before Star Wars, right?
Yeah, the Bible is Star Wars before Star Wars.
Yeah, so the Bible is Dune. But then Star Wars is Dune.
All right. I hate this is how that we're starting.
Dune is okay. The Bible, and then Star Wars
is Dune. Yes, got it.
This has nothing to do with the Bible.
I went down a rabbit hole. There's even a Dune called Dune Messiah. I was like, oh, so this is the Bible. I was like, this is the Bible.
Oh, boy.
And then the Book of Clarence is
Book of Clarence.
Star Wars.
Book of Clarence, oh, no. What the Bible should have been, was like people of color. But then Dune was like, hey, we got the white Jesus.
What the Bible should have been. By the way, if the people of the Bible were people of color, the Bible certainly didn't say whether they were or not.
Listen, we knew where they lived, Bray. We knew where they lived.
Yeah, the Middle East. Yeah. Okay, guys. Oh, my goodness. For those of you listening for the first time, what an introduction you're getting.
Oh, God.
Listen, this is a film review podcast, okay? Generally, we review the films of leading black actors, and we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. No, there's not. But what we do have here is a very popular movie.
With Zendaya.
And there are black people in it. And by black people, I mostly mean Zendaya.
Listen, Zendaya is on the poster.
Javier Bardem.
She is on the poster.
It's just her and Timothy. Well, the one that I'm looking at. I guess they probably
Javier Bardem is not
posts.
Black, but that's okay.
He's a person of color, Bray.
He's Spanish, and we've talked about this before. He's not actually a person of color.
Oh, wait, no.
Again, in America, I guess he is considered one because he speaks Spanish. That's how it goes. But
he's from Spain. He's colonizer. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He's Spain Spanish. He's great. Oh, I love Javier Bardem. He's great in this, and he's great in everything. But what I wanted to say was that we are reviewing this film, and guess what, guys? We will be reviewing more films like this. Why? Honestly, we want more people to listen to this podcast.
But we got to define what this is. Are we reviewing this? We're
still going to review films in the context of race and diversity,
even if they don't star brown people and black
people. But I don't understand the selection. Is this just, are we
James,
just doing
we
this
don't know,
it's
James.
Out?
We don't know.
Well, we're doing it because it's the number one movie in the box office, right? Okay. This film made 80, wait, how much?
It made like 120. Oh, you mean in the States.
Yeah. 82 million domestically opening weekend. It's made $182 million worldwide. Now, of course, the budget is... I mean, I guess they did two movies, so I don't know. They say the budget here is $190 million. Is that for just part two? Probably.
I mean, this movie was beautiful.
So my question is because we reviewed The Matrix because
James,
of Keanu.
We don't. Yeah.
But people would say...
We don't.
But when we were in the early days, when we were getting suggested The Matrix, we were being suggested it because people are like, Lawrence Fishburne.
Keanu said
that this actually fits our podcast in a different way because of Keanu being mixed.
Right.
So, but does this fall under strong supporting role and that's why we're doing it? Or will we constantly be doing the number one movie in the box office?
I mean, it could be a little both.
I think we're not going to do the number one movie. I don't know if we're going to review Superman.
I'm just saying, that's going to be number one that weekend, at least. Guys, we're here to get listeners. We're going to review Beetlejuice, goddammit. Okay, Michael Keaton ain't... Listen...
Beetlejuice, because
of Homegirl.
Oh, Jenna Ortega.
Right? Yeah.
Listen.
She's like going to be the star
supporting.
Of the movie.
I mean, Beetlejuice.
She's
going to
be
that.
This.
Beetlejuice.
First of all, Beetlejuice was not the star of the first Beetlejuice movie.
Right.
And if they make him the star of the second Beetlejuice movie, the movie's going to be terrible.
I mean, he is the star, but he's not like the
protagonist.
That man isn't, that character is in like 15 minutes of that movie.
Wait, hold on.
No, that's not true. He's
his
in
screen
more than
time
15
is small.
Minutes.
Yeah,
small.
It is like, I think it is like 20 minutes or something crazy. It's like 25.
It's
or,
a small
it's
amount.
Crazy.
It may be more than that, but it's small.
Okay,
it's
yeah,
small.
General take. Okay. I just had to check because Braylock done threw me off with Javier Bardem. So, yes.
In the movie.
We can definitely have Jenna Ortega.
Yeah,
I just had to double
Jenna
check.
Ortega. Yeah, she's not. She's Mexican.
Yeah. I just had to check. I had to double check. I was like, good God.
All right.
Our Mexican heritage. Okay, guys, we're reviewing Dune Part 2. My name is Jonathan Braylock. You might know me by the sound of my voice, the sound that is one of a person who can learn many different cultures very quickly. One who people might come and be
sound
drawn
like a colonizer to me.
And then they'd say, you're a colonizer. And you'd say, and I'd say, no, I'm not a colonizer. I care about you. And then I take your stuff. And, oh, sorry.
Spoken
anyway,
like a
that's
true
my,
colonizer. Wow. Well, wait. Hold on. Beetlejuice is only in there for 15 minutes? Wow.
What did I say?
I thought at
and
least 25.
And what did I say?
That's wow, like, Scott. Okay. Actual screen time,
I guess so. Because I guess at the end, and wow, this—I
mean, he's not in the beginning
newly educated voice—is that a Gerard Milligan?
And I'm James the Third.
And Dune Part Two currently has a 93% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn,
95% audience score.
Wow,
this is a film directed by Denis Villeneuve, who also directed Arrival.
He directed Prisoners, which is,
Prisoners.
Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I still haven't seen Blade Runner.
Blade Runner is beautiful, but it's long. I mean, Sicario is fucking, bruh.
Oh, and Sicario.
So all I right, watched a video on him today, and they were like, why'd you make the turn to sci-fi? And he was like, no, when I started my career, I took the turn away from it. Because sci-fi is the reason why he wanted to do films, but sci-fi costs money. So basically when he started off, he started doing these kind of like more auteur, you know, dramas until he got the shot to do Arrival will be in this first shot.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and just say it. Love Prisoners. Love Sicario. I like Arrival a lot. I really like Blade Runner 2049. So I think this is a good director. Okay, this film stars Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya, as we have been saying, as well as Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Austin Butler, Dave Bautista. And then we have like small little appearances like Christopher Walken and Florence Pugh. And for some reason, Anya Taylor-Joy.
Taylor-Joy.
We'll talk about that later.
Not for some, what you mean for some reason? For part three.
Anya Taylor-Joy. Gracious.
Just to let us know that part three is about to have a lot more Anya Taylor-Joy. That's what that was about. Yeah.
You know, they say time waits for no one, and neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Yeah, listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. you know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah. That's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes. And you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. But sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
We're going to do initial thoughts. For those who are listening for the first time, we do eventually spoil this movie. So if you want to see it,
y'all both spoiled it already.
I didn't spoil it.
Just now.
No,
by saying Anya Taylor-Joy, isn't it? That's not a spoiler.
Yes, it is. She's not in the trailer.
And I just piggybacked off of that.
Oh my goodness. Who cares?
Y'all the one who cares about trailers.
Wait,
and stuff.
Is that a spoiler?
No,
is
but she, that's not a story. Yeah. I'm talking about the story, not like who's in. If you look up IMDb, you'll know who's in the cast.
She uncredited, though.
It's known now that it's out, but y'all be the trailer people like, I can't watch it because it's spoilers.
Okay. Well, I care about the spoiler of the movie. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't care about like the stunt cameos that movies do. Ugh, I hate stunt cameos.
That's the spoiler. Go ahead.
You do? Hold on. You hate stunt cameos? Because sometimes when like Matt Damon just be showing up and stuff, it's like,
it was the worst part of Interstellar. When Matt Damon showed up in Interstellar, that's when I officially was like, I'm out. I'm fully out.
But he does it all the time. Okay, yes. That, I know Interstellar, he does. That's one thing. But he does it all the time. I can't think of any of them right now because they're so random.
It's always Matt Damon. But
he's in every movie. That man is in every movie.
I don't like it. It takes me out of the movie. Every time movies do this, it fully takes me out. And
I like
but
it.
Marvel has made it. I mean, everybody does it now. Right. Whatever. Go ahead. Initial thoughts.
Look, y'all have already heard me talk about this. I'm not a huge fan of Dune Part 2. I'm not a huge fan of Dune Part 1. I have this same relationship with Dune. I was introduced to Dune in middle school. My friend was obsessed with it. He was like reading the book and like blah blah blah. And he was like, the miniseries, you gotta watch the mini. And I was just like, I can't. It sounded like I was gonna sit and watch a bunch of people walk around the sand with a bunch of worms and that it was gonna be real slow and I was gonna be annoyed. That's what it felt like it was gonna be when he was describing it to me back then. Now they're spending all of this money on this movie, and I watched Dune Part 1 right before watching this, and that's exactly how I felt. Felt like I was staring at sand. Bunch of worms, everybody coming out announcing themselves. I am this person of this land. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm supposed to be following. I don't know what I'm supposed to be paying attention to. I feel like I need things to move just a little bit faster. I need a couple more explosions. Well, not in this one. This one had a good amount of explosions.
Okay.
This one had a good amount of explosions. I felt like
thank goodness.
Watching the first Dune, I was only really interested in that big siege that happens about halfway through the movie.
Mm.
And then after that, it slowed down again. And I was just like, I don't care. I just need a little bit more. I need a little bit more spice.
You need a little more cowbell. You need a little more cowbell. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
That being said, I think the acting is great. And I think the movie's beautiful. And I think, you know, all of that stuff is true. But like, I don't know. I didn't like Arrival, so I was starting to think maybe I don't like this director. But if y'all like these other movies, maybe I need to check those out too.
They also aren't sci-fi movies. So like,
right.
The Prisoners is like, you know, they're just drastically different movies.
Right. Yeah, because it just feels like it's like, and I'll just say this, and I'll let you guys talk, but like, it feels like specifically this movie and like Arrival, a movie that I didn't like, is like made for me. Like it's made for people that are like into sci-fi and also like movies, et cetera, et cetera. But I just, to me, while watching them, they feel so like self-important that I'm just like, I can't, I feel like I can't connect to this. Mm-hmm. It feels like the movie's like, isn't this a great movie? And I'm just like, I don't need the movie to tell me it's great. Dude, yeah. Don't tell me it's great. I want to experience. Anyway, so that's it. That was me. That was my feeling.
Want me to go break?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. It's one of those things where it was one of those things where like, I guess I'm on the same page as James. I was like, this movie, I think I texted her, I was like, it was the most thrilling thing I've seen, but also like kind of boring at the same time. But like, but it was like, but the thing is, even when I think about it, it's so hard to me to put a finger on it, because again, I agree with James, the performances were great. I mean, the cinematography and direction was just like, my God. The acting was good. I just think like there was a lot, you know what it is? I, again, don't know Dune. And I think I am now, as I watch some of these movies, having a strong reaction to some of the religious movies that are like clearly, like, again, they call him Messiah multiple times. Like, I think one of the books is Dune Messiah. So like, we clearly know the parallels this is making. I think I had a hard time with that. Especially like watching a cute white boy do it. I was like, I know that's the point. Like, I know that's the point. But like the fact that he was there with all the brown people, I was like, okay. You know, I thought I was going to get more Zendaya's point of view besides just her saying like, our people have to save us. I was like, cool, but I don't know what I was expecting, but I thought like, we're really going to like do this in a 2024 version. But yeah, man, it was entertaining. Like, I'll tell you this, that goddamn score, Hans Zimmer, baby, like nobody's messing with him, bro.
It's good.
Nobody. Also, look, them getting on them sandworms, bro, look cool.
It was exciting.
It just was cool. So yeah, man, it was entertaining for sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, I am a fan of Dune, the book. I think it's a really great book. It's really fun. They had to change some stuff for the movie because there are some race implications that they were like, we can't deal with this anymore. So they changed some stuff. But like, I do think the movie is beautiful. I think it's well directed. I think, honestly, this movie would have been... this movie is good. It's just 3 hours. It's 2 hours and 46 minutes. It's way too long. I will say, I've said this before, I will say it again. Movies are too long now. People, they need to stop. I don't know what this plague and just sickness that has infested Hollywood it is with making movies 3 hours, but it's wrong. It's morally wrong. You shouldn't be forcing. It's morally wrong. It's morally bankrupt. You should not be forcing people to sit for 3 hours to watch them, especially when it doesn't need to be.
No one's forcing anybody.
Yes, they are. They're making us because we have nothing else to see. So
it is long,
and every movie is 3 hours. So we're just forced to endure this. It's like, come on, people have lives, guys. Anyway, and then they wonder why the movie industry is dying. Whatever. Look, the book was, they've already made this book into a movie, and it's a weird movie. It's the David, was it Fincher or Lynch? No, David Fincher, Lynch. Right?
It's Lynch. Or
Lynch. It is Lynch.
Also, it's a mini series that came out starring Professor X. What's that kid's name? James McAvoy. Yeah. Children of Doom.
Oh, well, when did that come out?
I think it was like 2000.
That's the one that my friend was excited about. That's why he was reading, right. et cetera. Back then, 2000.
The Lynch one is so freaking weird. But this movie, the book is kind of weird and the movie's kind of weird. So anyway, I appreciated a lot of this. I thought, you know, there are some solid performances. There are some performances that were all right, whatever. It's just too long. And it's two parts. It's half a movie. Okay. Dune is half a movie. Part one is half a movie, a really bad half of a movie, because it's like, but nothing happens. It's all set up. And this carries stuff out, and like, it's good. But the impacts, I honestly believe a lot of the emotional impacts would have hit harder if this movie was one movie and if it was shorter. It's just like, it's hard to care about stuff when we saw this 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, the other one was 3 years ago. And it's like, oh yeah, his dad died, but like, I no longer am feeling the emotional impact of that. You know, like, whatever. Anyway.
You think this could have fit in one movie though? I feel like this is so much content.
I do feel really? Like it could fit into one movie. Yes. It feels
and
like
they could
it,
cut
it,
some stuff.
It does feel like they're like really stretching it out to what you just described, Bray, is kind of helping me to figure something out that was going on for me, which was like, I feel like I don't care about these characters and I don't quite understand why. My first thought was like, oh, perhaps they're underwritten, but it can't be that. It's got to be that like the things that's happening to them, it's just being stretched remarkably thin to the point where like, I don't feel connected to it, even within the story that I'm watching. Like, I don't feel from moment to moment, you know.
And to be fair, I will say, like, the movie bolsters, like, Zendaya's character is way bigger in the movies than it is in the book. And so the movie does, like, do some things to bolster some of the characters, especially the women characters. Anyway, whatever. We'll get into it, though. It does look incredible. And there are lots of parts of this that are very entertaining. I know there are people who are going to really love this. So don't worry. This is not going to be just a crapping on Dune Fest. I know Jarrah likes a lot of parts of it as well. So, and we'll talk through it too, because it's like, this world is so interesting and it's fun. And yes, George Lucas got such inspiration off of this. And it's like one of the, if not the most acclaimed sci-fi books because of how well it like infused both like storytelling, technology, politics, and like all that stuff. So, let's get into it.
Well, is the point of the books, and I have to ask this so I can understand, is the point of the books that it does address race? And like, that's the reason, like, because you know what it is? I've been watching movies, and in these movies now, I'm like, did this need to be a white dude? And some of my things, is the point of the book that he is a white guy with, quote unquote, the sand people, or what are they, Fremen? Is that their name?
Well,
really, it was like the black women holding like the cup of life and shit. I was like, yo.
But did you not feel, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I would actually love to know what the point of the book was. But it didn't bother me so much that he was white, because a big part of the story was like, you are of the pampered class.
So I guess my thing is the fact that like, you can still be pampered and be a different color, but also no, exactly, you can be pampered.
It was
the optics of like the fact that like when we got to the sand world or whatever, it felt like I was watching Avatar again. Whereas like the blue people are clearly supposed to be people of color, and then the army people are white people until they get infiltrated. And I'm watching this and I'm looking at Timothy and his mom, and they're literally surrounded by like black and brown. And there were white people there too, but the ones you saw of power was like the darker skinned black lady strangling the worm, and like, you know, I was like, is that the point of the book? Is it book, not the point, but is the book talking about like race in a way?
I mean, it is in the sense of, it's not, it's a different world, right? And it's like in the future, like a different place. So it's not trying to necessarily make comments on our races, but it for sure is like the Fremen are different. Like, they live on a different planet. They are different people. And it is a colonizing force, right? Like the Empire, both like Atreides, whatever, all of those, like, it's like, these are, this is like a force and an empire, and they're dealing with their own stuff, but they've come to this world, Arrakis, because it has valuable resource, spice, and they're just there to get to steal that resource. So is that it? I mean, like, you can't help but go, well, yes, that's a direct correlation to colonial, you know, Europe going to Africa and stealing their resources, right? Or India, right? Or going to India and stealing their resources. Like, that's the inspiration. So that's the thing about this stuff is always strange, because it's like our sensibilities of race get placed onto it. And yet at the same time, the person who's writing the thing is affected by their sensibilities of race. So one of the things that stuff that they had to change is, like, it, to me, when I was reading Dune, I was like, it feels like maybe he was thinking about India, maybe he was thinking about some places in Africa or the Middle East, but everything written in it is like very Middle East centric. And like, they even talk about jihad, which they don't talk about in the movies for a good reason, but they use the word jihad, right, in the books. And it's like, which takes on an even, it's like even more sensitive,
right,
in modern day, where like than he was when he wrote it. But that said, jihad has existed, obviously, you know, it's a part of the Islamic religious texts.
And he also said, like, in the desert, the jinn were in the desert and that they would speak. And it was like, oh yeah, it felt like it was directly hearkening that without directly talking about it.
Yeah. I think I'm okay saying this. Like, there are pretty strong reference, like, correlations between the Fremen and Muslims, right? Like, it just feels like he was, because they, and that's the whole religious aspect of it, is like, they're like, they have this religion that they really believe in, that we find out in the movie is a religion that was completely, like, started, or like the person who wrote the religion were the women, the how do you pronounce their names?
The mothers, what are their names?
Yeah.
Reverend Mothers, but you mean the
Bene Gesserits, or?
Yeah, something like that. I'm trying to look it up. I don't have it in front of me. The Bene Gesserit, yeah.
So it's like they started that religion on Arrakis as a form of control, which obviously a lot of people believe of religion in general. A lot of people believe that religion, I mean, obviously religion can be used as a form of control, but many people believe that religion was created purposely to control people, right? As opposed to ever having any sort of validity, you know? I don't know. I'm actually interested to know your thoughts about that whole storyline throughout the movie.
The religion, like, it's hard for me, because I think, like, again, I grew up, you know, like, in Catholic schools and stuff like that, with like deacons and pastors in my family. But it's like, I think I revolted against a lot of that. So I think maybe that's the thing that bumps me with the movie, is that the thing that I rebelled against as a kid is a thing like the movie I just can't handle, whereas like it was so much Messiah talk. And again, I mean, we can get into it. It was interesting because Javier Bardem, I don't know about y'all theaters,
had people
cracking up in my
He was so good. It was so funny.
What a language you didn't even understand. But the fact that, like, I remember seeing, there were memes that came out or that I saw today, and it was like, Timothy farts as he should. It was just like, it was just so good. I mean, and those people exist. I mean, I never know 100%. What to say about that. Those people exist. And I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, this is how I always felt about religion, is that, especially because I remember, if you think about like Black history in particular, you know, religion was used in a way that I don't think was great, but I think it also could be used as a way to just give people hope. And I think, like, when I look at them and the Javier Bardem character, he was old enough to have seen so much oppression, so much war for so long, that like hope finally came to him. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you just need a little bit of hope to keep going. You know, it's just hard, because I can't tell if, is Timothy a bad guy? Like, is the kid is a bad guy, right? Like,
I think, I mean,
right?
At least in, Like within the confines of this story, right? I feel like we are on his side, and then he drinks the poison, and then he realizes there's only one path to whatever victory is, and that is
victory is vengeance.
Vengeance.
And he kept saying that. He was like, I want vengeance. And I'm like, yo, y'all still like, it's not like, I mean, don't get me wrong, before he drinks the water, you know, he's definitely more soft spoken. I'm like, this little nigga keeps saying, I want revenge the whole time. I was like, he said it to Zendaya. He said it in the group.
He was very clear about
very clear. I'm like, y'all hear this little man, right? I'm like, just because he go with the grasshopper, or what's his name? Little bunny rabbit. I was like, look, I don't trust him.
Yeah, but he's at least honest. You know, he's honest in the beginning. And then I feel like he turns, you know, like it, like, and I don't know what the second, what the third part of this movie is, but I, it's like,
this book is done.
This book is done. This book is
this
done.
This is the end of the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the next stages of this story are, but like, to me, it feels like it's like, yeah, like you can side with him until you can't, you know, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I mean, because to me, I was like, the moment he walks back in there, also was so funny. Oh, which one is? Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. Doom Messiah. Yeah, that's what I thought. It's funny. Thanks, Skylar. It's funny because once he comes back in the temple, my man is turned all the way up. My bad. First off, like, I know we're skipping around, but I just got to talk about Timothée Chalamet's acting, because I really like Timothée Chalamet. Like, I think, see, at first I was like watching it. Maybe Tim is like, and I mean this as a short person as well, like too short, like not menacing enough for this. But I think like that's the whole point. That's what I'm assuming is like he is so innocent at the start of this. But the moment he comes in that temple and they're like, you got to kill Javier Bardem, he's like, why would I kill somebody I need in battle? And just starts like standing on the podium and just starts talking. We're not supposed to talk. And be like, you dreamed about this, you dreamed about that. I was like, my man. Also, my man looked like Darth Vader in was it Revenge of the Sith when he had the black robe. My man walked through the white, all the white. For real, when he walked out, he walked through the white and he had the black robe on blowing in the wind. And I was like, yo, did Star Wars just like jack this movie? I know. Okay, first I was like, good God. But yeah, Timmy was good, man. Zendaya was good. I just wanted Zendaya to have a little more, man. I'm like, I don't know what you could have done with her, because you're saying in the book. Yeah, I might say in the book you said she wouldn't. All right.
Nah, not like this. No, like she was like she wasn't there at the end being like, I'm walking away. Like, no, there's not. He was like, I'm doing my thing.
She Bray in the book? Did she say like, did she stand up to him the whole time? Like in the book, or was she like a part of the? I
think at a certain point she stops. I honestly don't remember. Like, that's a little more. I was like, oh, does she have this whole like, I don't believe in that. I know. I remember the South is different than the people of the North and that kind of stuff. But it's definitely not like, I feel like this movie really beefed up this idea that she was like looking at him and going like, don't you turn on us. You know, like, I think they added. I feel like they added that. I'm almost positive.
I mean, that, I did like that. Or,
yeah. No, it was great. It made it, it gave it like this nice foil to it. And like, I think the reality is this book made Paul more likable and it gave it a little bit more of a like, maybe he was never going to be this. And then it just happened. And like, it happens, or it's inevitable or whatever. Whereas like, Paul was kind of just like Machiavellian almost the entire time.
Okay, oh, yeah. This really felt like he would have never
knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
It kind of was like he was like, it's like that part where, remember the mom, and I don't know. I feel like the movie was playing both sides, because remember the mom comes up to him and she's like, we need to get them to believe in you. And he was like, I know.
And he believes that. And he is sort of like in support of that. He's like, yes, we have to do it. But then he never, to me, it was the constantly saying, I don't believe in this. People believe in this. and that's fine. But
I think he changed his mind at the one point.
But that's a part of the act. Is that what you're saying? Like
that's what I'm saying. It could be construed as part of the act. It's like, you know, it's like I am not saying this about you. I just want to make it very clear what I'm about to say is not about, I don't actually believe this about Jesus.
Oh no.
Oh no. Right.
But Jesus, whenever people said, are you the Messiah? He would never say, he would never be like, I am the Messiah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jesus always was like, what's written or whatever. Or like, there were times where he's like, why do you call me teacher? Like, Jesus never was like, call me the Messiah.
Right.
Like, I'm the Messiah. Call me that. And so I believe that, you know, that Paul was written with that in mind of like a real like Messiah. In order for get to people to believe in you, there has to be a certain humility. Mm-hmm. And so you pushing it away will draw people in, which is kind of what happens, right? They literally are like, look, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, he had that one point where like, he didn't want to do it. But he even yelled at his mom at one point about like, the religion, but when he's talking to Zendaya, and I guess this is after he has the dream of like her exploding or her getting burnt up or whatever.
Right.
And he goes, fine, I'll just do what has to be done. You know what I mean? And I think at that point it was like, he kept trying his best to not go south. He kept trying his best to not be around his mom. Oh, how it seemed. And then at one point he was like, well, if I don't do this, I see you dying. And it's like, I don't know what else to do now. And he just, because I remember like when he's riding the worm, first off, that whole group, my man got a worm to himself. That whole team, everybody got mad folks on their worm. He got a worm to himself.
That's the Messiah.
That's
right
the
there.
One. The But it's crazy because, yeah, I mean,
that's,
yeah.
That's Usul.
Yeah.
That's Maldeep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's real.
I was going to ask about that exact bit though, Gerard, because, and I guess you're right. The movie played both sides, Bray, but like, it's like, what becomes the point of voicing like the literal dreams that he had to Zendaya, like telling her like, if I go south, everybody's dead, you know? And he yelled at Rebecca Ferguson, like, you're saying all these lies and this, that, and the third. And I'm gonna stay north. You go south. I can't go south because everything will explode. Hmm. Everything will go south if I go south.
To what you're talking about, it was like, and the movie did say this, so I just to make it clear, he was seeing that if he goes south, billions of people are gonna die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's because there's going to be a holy war, and the holy war is like the Fremen are going to be unleashed on the Empire. And like, so it was like, he knew like, oh, like this is going to, and again, this is obviously borrowing very heavily from like Crusades, right?
Yeah.
Like Muslims and Christians fighting and like,
right.
Like so many people dying and like them not caring because it's driven. You could say that this book and then because of that, somewhat this movie, it is a bit of a critique on religion in saying like religion, because it's so powerful, like it can cause like it, you can, and if you can weaponize that power, it could be so deadly. And one of the things I think that's like in the book, that's like not really like this is like the idea that like he would then have no control over it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Because he got the power, he said. He's like, I'm scared I will get the power or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I guess that's a point that I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking of it as much about like what you just said, of that like the Fremen as the Christian forces literally spreading all over, you know, like spreading across the globe.
Yeah.
I saw it as like Fremen will die at my hand because they believe in me, which will also happen too. But
that will also happen.
But
he's also talking about his people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But ultimately getting his higher goal of taking control over the empire.
Yeah. Cause now he has the Fremen and he has the all white people now. What's their names called? Like the ones that were the bad guys in the first one.
The Harkonnen.
Cause technically he beat like, he has control of them now because he killed the Baron and he killed Elvis.
Yes, so and he like, also is their blood. They're the same. Yeah. He's the same. Yeah. That shit was crazy. That was crazy.
Also, yo, first off.
Well, then he marries. Then he marries the emperor's daughter.
That was crazy.
So now he got three. So now he just out here. Yo, my man had one move and just went through. First off, let me just say one thing. What's Elvis's name?
Austin Butler.
Austin Butler was so fun. I was like, why did he kill him so fast?
They killed him too fast. I was mad. I was mad that this movie laid waste to him and Baptista. What's his name?
Baptista. Baptista got.
I was like, hold up. All we seen this man do is scream for two straight movies and then they just killed him. I couldn't.
Yo, Baptista is so funny. His character had almost a 360. In the first one, he was so big, so scary. And this one, he's running. Like, and this one, he got killed in like a second, bro. It was like, first off, Josh Brolin is one of the most badass looking older dudes I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, when I get older, I just want to be badass looking like Josh. Like, Josh Brolin looks like he's out in the woods making wood sculptures.
Yeah.
You know, with his bare hands.
How old is
they
he?
They did wide shots of him going through mowing people down. I was like, that's him doing that. Like,
yeah, like, just a wide shot, bro.
It was just him. And it didn't
feel 56.
It didn't have that vibe. Okay, all right, okay, cool. He's on his Tom Cruise. It had that vibe of like,
yeah,
of like, oh, this is not, he's not breaking a sweat. I loved his character. Every time something went down, he would just get mad at people not fighting. No, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
ships are crashing down around him. He's like, y'all better get y'all asses up and fight.
Yeah, he's great. In the book, he tries to kill his mom because he thinks the mom was the one that was the traitor.
Oh, now it's getting dicey. Also, this is one thing I say about this franchise that Bray, as a Dune fan, I will never forgive this franchise for killing a bearded Oscar Isaac. That is the most handsome version of Oscar Isaac. No, okay,
we knew he was gonna go. Hey, he had to go.
I didn't know. Perfect cast. I didn't know.
In the movie, he goes, "If something were to happen, will you look after my son?" I was like, "Oh shit, he ain't." He says that in the first one. I was this like, is oh, the no. thing.
Yeah, he's Ned Stark, right? Like he's like. It's yeah. like you have to care about him to you. Honestly, you have to care so much about him to go on this journey with Paul, because if you didn't, you'd kind of be like, who's this stupid little kid? You know what I mean? Like, but bro, because you're kind of like, well, I'm kind of with Paul because I do want some of these people to die. You know, they killed Oscar Isaac. They need to die.
Bro, Oscar Isaac hasn't even had a beard that big in another movie since, bro. This is my thing. As a man who can't grow a beard, do y'all understand the version of Oscar Isaac that is now gone cinema?
We saw it.
They brought Jarvis back in a flashback to talk. They couldn't bring back bearded Oscar Isaac? Bruh, never forgiving it. Never forgiving it, man. You know what? They had a bearded Oscar Isaac and they had a clean-shaven Jason Momoa, both gone.
Yo, that was crazy. When Jason Momoa went, I was like, oh, like that was wild.
Bruh. And he was taking out mad dudes.
He had three scenes. He's in three scenes? That was crazy.
The baddest fighter in the land and shit. And they like.
I mean, Florence Pugh was barely in the movie. They really pulled people. They were like, hey, you want to be in Dune?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And people were like, yes.
Yeah, facts.
But had they done this in a single movie, all these people that we're talking about,
be a lot
they're
harder.
Gone yeah. in, they're gone in That's 10 minutes. They're gone in the first, they're gone in the first 20 minutes of the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah. Cause that, yeah, absolutely. First 20, you would Crazy. Not, or at least 25, you would like,
yeah.
Cause some of this, the part one stuff was like very much like, hey, we're very slowly going to explain to you like how this technology works. But, and it's funny because you think about it, like some of that stuff, by the time you get to part two, you kind of don't even, it's like how the shields work and how they fight, like how they fight and how you're supposed to fight with the shield. Like
at
a certain point, that doesn't really matter and you don't even see it. Like there was a part of me that was like a little annoyed that like at the end of two, when the Fremen are like coming in, like it doesn't seem like the shields are like doing anything. Like they're just slicing through them. And I was like, hold on, you're supposed to... There's supposed to be a specific way in which you get through these shields.
Virtually every fight, the shields did nothing. The shields did
absolutely nothing.
Also, I thought, like, I don't know the book, but like when the ending happened and the Fremen was just demolishing, like, I'm talking about like, they didn't stand a chance. And I was like, oh,
no, it was over.
I was waiting for like a shooter to drop. I was like, there's no way the good guys are like winning as much unless they're the bad guys. I was like, something is
happening. It was like, it's like, it mirrors what happens in part one, right? Like, it's just like wipe. It's like checkmate already happened. We already have.
Yeah.
Like, we have way more soldiers than you do. We have more firepower. You stand no chance. And and it's a sneak attack. You stand no chance. Yeah. You're gonna get destroyed. Yeah. And that's what happens. They get destroyed.
So, bro, when they came in there with them worms, I was like, "What y'all gonna like?
Yeah,
what y'all gonna do to these worms, bro? Like, these worms are massive. Like, at one point. Oh wait, okay. So this is what I want. This is one thing I want to address is that when Javier Bardem brings them to the north or whatever, and everyone's
when
not
talking. Riding the worm?
Well, not even when they're riding the worm, but when no one's talking to Timothée Chalamet, he goes to his mom and is like, "Woman, come with me." And he's like, "We want you to be like the mother or whatever."
Yeah, rubber mother.
Yeah, rubber mother. And she goes, "What happened if I says no?" Well, what's the point of you? Like, I guess we would just empty your water into the. And I didn't know that's what they were doing. So people were dying. They were just like sucking water out of them, yo. I was like, this is gnarly. Also, I'm like, how thirsty they be. Incredible. I'm like, there's so much water here. But when they made her the Queen Mother.
That's sacred water.
The sacred water. I was just like, you know what it is? To me, that's that moment of when people put their faith in the wrong person. I'm like, yo, this lady seems sketchy the whole time. Like, everything about this lady is sketchy. She was sketchy in the first book. I mean, the first movie. And then y'all gonna give her the ultimate power. And she talking to a baby. She having full on conversations with a baby.
Everybody was just cool with that.
And y'all see her talking to the baby.
Everybody was. She would say, "My daughter asks this," and people were just like, "Yep." Her.
Timothy was like, "What did my sister say?"
Yeah.
So this is cool. I'm telling y'all right now. If one of y'all start telling me y'all talking to an imaginary friend,
it's funny they did that. More time passes in the book too. So like that daughter, like she's alive. Like she gets born. Like.
Oh, she's like, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, by the time the end of the book happens, it's like she's a kid.
I'm actually surprised they didn't do that in this movie because time was just moving in a way. They didn't want us to really know how much time had passed. We kind of watched
we kind of watched
the belly grow, but it was like next thing we knew, my man was on a worm. Like that was how it moved. So
first of, that was badass.
It was cool.
I think that was the reason. It must have been the baby because there was. I was like, why aren't they showing how much time is passing? Because I remember I was like watching and being like, a lot of time has passed, like a couple of years. So like, why aren't they showing it? And then I realized like, oh, I guess they just wanted to keep. They just thought this like her talking to her
baby is creepy.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And so, like, because we'll just keep that.
Great. In the book, is she like a kid? Like, is when the sister comes, is she like walking around doing stuff?
Like a little kid, And she's like, she's got all the power because of the spice.
Right. Oh, right. Because she was born with it. She was born with the juice.
And does that in the book? Does that complicate the Messiah stuff with her coming out powerful or no?
Nah.
No, not at all. Mm. Just. And also, they got this angel baby. This baby, they just got all kinds.
I don't think they realize like how I forgot, but like I don't think they're like clocking how like
powerful she is.
I mean, yeah.
Okay,
interesting. All that stuff is so fast. Like again, I was very fascinated by the lore of everything. Like I love a good sci-fi lore. And I don't know if they talk about this in the book. How was these niggas popping out of dirt like that? Like the fact that like they was just. Full body. I was like, yo, with weapons?
That was cool. And we would see the little like snorkel. Like just like they were just like in a row. How do you know where anybody else is? Like
I have so many questions about it. I was like, what is this? It was so cool. Like, I thought it was so cool.
You know, it is cool. Also, yeah, the way that they were attacking those spice Bruh. Like patrols and stuff where well, that was cool.
All that stuff.
Everything was cool. I know you by the way you walk, old man.
Yeah, that was like, great. That was nice.
Also, the Austin Butler stuff, I know you already talked about how great he was, but like that whole like black and white thing, that was crazy. I was like, what is the technology that's doing this? That's like literally taking the color out of this arena.
Yeah, no. It made me, I was, cause there was also black and white outs in the different areas of the arena too. But then
because they said, cause of the black moon, remember?
It was the black moon.
They were like, the whatever thing on this eve of the black moon.
That's right.
Then that's what it was. Okay. All right. Cool.
I forgot about that.
But also, okay. I'm not going to lie. First off,
He looked cool.
Who was the very famous actress who just appeared in that one scene?
Oh, Anya Taylor-Joy.
No. The one who basically hooked up with Butler and like got pregnant, and we never saw her again.
What was she from? I was like, I know this actress.
She's been in so many. Wait,
I didn't.
Am I on Dune Part 1 or Part 2? No, this is Part 2.
You'll realize, hold on, James. Part 2.
Leah Sadu. She was in a Bond movie, wasn't she?
Yes. So she is the girlfriend. She's Bond's wife.
No Time to Die.
Yeah, she's Bond's wife.
Oh, Inglourious Bastards in my Ghost Protocol. I didn't recognize her in this, but
I did. Oh, yeah. She's great. Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, I was like, wait, how is she in here for just like this hot second and then she's just gone? I thought she was like a bigger deal and maybe, again, I don't know. I was like,
no, man, this whole movie had people just coming, like, just being like, I'm here for this small, tiny part.
Dog, I mean, yeah, why not? Like, yeah, I'll do it. Fuck it, it's Dune, sure. But when she showed up, also, Austin Butler was so funny because, again, I have only seen Elvis, so that's kind of my trajectory of him. Like, I know he was on Disney and stuff, but I wasn't familiar with that show. But so to see him in this, first off, my man is shredded. Like at one point when he's like getting his knives or whatever and he's shirtless, I'm like, my man is shredded and he's so sadistic. But is there another big bad guy now? Like, is there, because the Baron's dead, he's dead. Is there somebody else that?
I mean, it's got to be them now, right? It's got to be.
Well, I mean, yes, they're clearly the bad guys, but I'm just saying, like, you know, who is his foil now? Is it
it's trying to stop the Holy War.
No. I just liked having, like, you know, the one guy I'm like, oh, they're going to meet soon. You know, they about to, ooh, I'm going to get that one hand-to-hand scene or something. And also, what's the Baron's deal? Why he be floating all over the place? Like, what? Like, how does that work?
That was great. I thought he was
so... It's so cool, right?
Yeah.
Like is that, like, is he... What, I was... Is he too...
I forgot the explanation
to move?
Of it.
Let me Google, why does the Baron float? I bet you didn't know what I'm talking about.
Well, like, it could also even just be that he... like in his gluttony is getting bigger, you know, and like not, you know, in his being as a king, you know, it's the king thing. It's the gluttonous king sort of archetype.
Thank you, Screen Rant. Screen Rant literally has February 13th, why the Baron floats in Dune and how much he weighs.
And the answer?
Oh my God. He might, so from the book, from the series, it says he might weigh 200 standard kilos in actuality, but his feet would not carry more than 50 of them. So he uses suspension.
Oh, right.
He uses suspension belts to float, which can convert to 440 pounds in our weight.
Yeah, he's just a nasty blob. But it's all, see, this is the thing about Dune is like, it's all about political maneuvering. It's all like, you know, schemes. And I think there's a line in the movie where they're like plans within plans within plans.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's what it is. It's like everybody's doing it. Like the Emperor's trying to do it. Harkonnen, the Baron's trying to do it. Paul's trying to do it. They're all trying to like outmaneuver each other. None of the houses actually nobody trusts each other. They're all fighting for power, but it's just like, you know, it's very Game of Thrones.
They have that. They have that moment at the end when the Baron looks up at the throne, like he about to climb up the stairs and sit in it. And it was like, why would you even try to do this.
This
would be
before he died. Right, yeah, you just want to sit
down
in the,
just to sit down in it.
I'm so close. He's like, I was so close.
And it's
to
like
it.
This would mean nothing. You know, this would mean nothing, right?
Nah.
Yeah.
Your whole life, you've been dreaming about it. You're like, well, before I die, let me at least sit in it.
Yeah.
Let me get the, you know, illusion.
Also, like, it's so funny because once, what's his name, Paul? Drinks the vision water, whatever, the water of life. He gets so gully. My man just walks in and just stabs the, like, he just is ruthless, you know? Like, he just, the first movie, he didn't want to kill old boy. This one, he's like, no, I'm coming in, stabbing. I'm going to get stabbed so I can stab the other dude in the chest. Right. I'm like, yo, my man is.
But he sees it all, too. It's that thing. It's.
Dr. Strange.
Yeah, it's Dr. Strange. Yeah, yeah. It's Rick and Morty.
It's
all of the stuff. So he does those moves. I like that they removed all of the score from their final fight. That helped to add to the tension for me. I had forgotten that he could see everything and knew that there was only one path. Like, I was like, oh shit, is he gonna make it out of this?
Like, I did too. I thought he was gonna die. I was like, oh, I did not see that coming. I thought he was gonna die and then stab the other dude. Now they both dead or something like that. But again, Javier Bardem, the moment he kills dude, the moment Javier Bardem sees it, he just shouts something. And I'm like, my man.
He was so great, man. Yo, he really nailed it.
He was so good. But I'm going to give a shout out to Zay Zay, okay? Because this whole time, I feel like they didn't give Zendaya a lot of dialogue. But to me,
they tried.
Every emotion was expressed on that girl's face, yo. Like, the fact that also, oh my God. Also, the fact that you have probably like two of the most popular young actresses out with her and Florence Pugh.
Three.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I forgot about Anya Taylor-Joy.
They were like, all right, we'll get the three actresses who are going to be in everything.
Yeah, that's
Zendaya, Anya Taylor-Joy, Florence Pugh. Here you go. All in the same movie.
But at least in that scene at the end, they had like Zendaya and Florence like as the only people still standing. Like when everyone else bowed to him after he killed Homeboy, they were the only ones standing. And like the whole time, everybody's clocking Zendaya. Like, you know, is that your pet? Like, you see Florence look over there. But then, little Timmy had a little bit of humility. He was like, hey, I just want you to know, no matter what, I love you. And I'm like,
humility? That's what you call that?
I don't know, bruh. Like, I'm like, in my mind, he was like, hey, I love you, but I got to marry this lady for the business.
He didn't say that. He just said, hey, just so you know, whatever happens, I still love you.
That's true.
And she's like, okay. All right, bro. And then he's like, I'm marrying the emperor's daughter. And she's like, oh, that's what you were talking about, nigga? Oh, okay.
In front of everybody, though?
F you, dude.
You
go
do that in front of everybody? Everybody know we shared the same tent, cuz. Like, yo, she should have. Also, he did pitch that in the first movie, though. In the very first movie, he pitched it. I remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember he's like,
that's what I'm saying. He knew. He knew. He knew what he was doing.
Wow.
He knew he was going to do this the whole time. Also.
Wow, bro.
In the book, they have a kid.
Who?
Him and Zendaya. Him and Chani.
Wait, before he marries.
Okay. Why? They really want us to like be feeling for Chalamet then. Like, cause I would.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
It's like you.
They did it to make you. They made him a little bit more likable, a little bit less like, this guy sucks.
Yeah. Because, and are they thinking about what that would mean for the rest of.
Yes, because we still have to continue series, with him.
Cause it's. Mm. But you, it feels like you almost need. So I don't, again, have not read these, but it feels like you would need that, the drama of that. And, you know,
I think it's like the sister. Oh, yeah. I don't know how much Zendaya's character is in the. I don't know if she's still.
But wouldn't his kid come back or anything like that?
Yeah.
Well.
But is the sister like Anya Taylor-Joy can't be in the rest of them? Like, is she just going to be a grown ass adult? Like, how does that work? Like, is she.
Well,
you know,
because the next book it's in the future.
Oh, is it? Oh, so it really made no sense that it was Anya Taylor-Joy.
It does make sense because the next book, she is going to be older. So I don't know what they're going to do with Timothy, if they're just going to keep him.
Isn't she older than Tim?
No, I understand.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are they going to age Timothy right. up, or are they just going to cast a new actor?
Right, right. But this sister...
No, you're not getting rid of Timothy, boy. You ain't getting rid of little Timmy. Ain't no way.
So then what are they going to do?
No, you got to age Timmy then. You got to age him, right?
Yeah.
Because Anya... But just wait, but let me up. Just make sure this. I'm clear.
Oh, he's
this.
1 year older than her.
Anya is the...
No, it's not going to look good.
Anya is the unborn sister, right? Grown?
Yes.
Right. Okay. 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 That's crazy. That's great. That's absurd.
Wow. It's so interesting because I'm like, yeah, like how many movies are, like how many of these are there? I thought it was only going to be two. There's going to be more movies?
Still on it. I mean, I think there's five books. I don't know how many of these they're going to do.
They're doing a series, I saw.
Because it's six books, I think.
Six books, including the first one, right? Yeah. I meant five sequels. I didn't read these.
And they all take how many years to make? I mean, like, you know, it's been, I mean, COVID stopped this one.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out last year.
Okay.
So the strike stopped this one.
The strike stopped this one.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out in November or December of last year.
But did COVID also affect filming?
The first one, it did.
The first one,
yeah.
Okay.
And then there's six books, and then his son continued them, but I don't know if any of those are being grounded. Got it. Because I know in the Timothy... In the 2000 Sci-Fi Channel movie, that movie I think is about the kids. So it's about his son. That's who James McAvoy is playing, like the son of Paul. Because I think in one of the books, Paul turns into like a Baron type creature or some shit.
Perfect.
I don't know. I tried to do a deep dive today, but it was so much details. I was like,
I feel like I need Paul to go down that road. Feels like. Exactly.
I think he does. I think he does.
Just like a gross Paul. Like just like a...
It's the Children of Doom when it gets weird. Yeah, bro. Apparently it becomes a worm. I don't know. I went down a hole. But again, I like this movie.
Becomes a worm. Okay.
I think, or merges. I don't know. I think this movie's cool. I will say this. Watching a movie like this, it was very cool to see Zendaya on the big screen. Because I was like, yo, I think we all like sci-fi. And it was like, I just feel like we rarely see... Black and brown people on like in a sci-fi movie to this scale. So the fact that she's in this one, you got Jenna Ortega, I think, coming out with Beetlejuice soon. You know, Ghostbusters, they got people of color in the new Ghostbusters. I think there's a black girl in it now. I'm like, it's cool, man. I don't know. This feel like it was such a cool movie to make. This movie had a swirl, y'all.
Did y'all see it?
It was the end of it.
Didn't have the kind of swirl that you don't like. Like, you don't like swirls like this. Right?
I mean, listen.
What, just
James,
kissing?
No.
Where's the white dude and the black woman? What is my thing? Zendaya is now... Zendaya is a crossover actress. And Hollywood doesn't like their women of color crossover actresses being with men of their own. Like, I just think...
Hold on.
Think about it.
Zendaya is a crossover actress?
Bruh, Zendaya, bruh. Zendaya, black people
but
love Zendaya.
Was never, okay.
No,
but
she was never
like a black.
Okay. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, she's never, that's what I mean. She's like a crossover. Like, she's not considered just a black actor or like, you know, everybody likes Zendaya. But usually when you see like a Zendaya, a Halle Berry, a Jennifer Lopez, a Zoe Saldana, like, you know, Hollywood kind of, they're like, all right, cool. Y'all making these movies now.
Tom Holland.
Yeah, exactly.
Timothy Chalamet.
You know,
she was with John David Washington, though.
Bray, that's a movie she paid for herself.
I'm just saying.
She made that movie. That was an acting
Your one
exercise.
Example is that.
And then she was with two white dudes.
I kept thinking about that movie while watching this one. Like, I
Did that movie come out?
No, it got pushed back. So it's coming out soon. Challengers.
I was like, they were marketing the hell out of that. And then I was like, where'd it go?
The strike. No, it's coming out this year. I think it comes out in a couple months, right? The funny thing about Challengers is if you see Past Lives, the woman who directed Past Lives, you know, it's like kind of a autobiographical. Her writer husband in the movie, her husband in real life that's, you know, kind of featured in the movie, his directorial debut is Challengers with Zendaya. So it's like they both were supposed to have movies come out the same year. One being like Past Lives, the other one being Challengers. But yeah, I got nothing else. This movie was fun. People should see it in theaters.
Yeah, do not see it another way. You got to go see it in the theaters. They are actually forcing your hand, to go back to what Bray was saying. You have to see this in theaters. You can't see it at home unless you got a big ass TV. You need it. Unless you have a movie theater in your home, do not watch this at home.
Do not watch this at home first.
All right. Of course, if you enjoy the movie, you know, buy it, watch it at home, and keep, you know, I'm not anti purchasing films. I'm just saying, first see it in the theaters. First.
Are we doing the cause? Yeah, I guess so, right?
Yeah, we're there.
You know, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helped the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. So if it helped that cause, a more leading black actress in Hollywood, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it did not help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2.
Not Part 1.
Okay. Specifically Dune Part 2.
Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Wow.
What'd you give it, James?
Wow.
Yeah, I gave it a black fist. I'm going to tell you why I gave it a black fist. Yeah, man. I gave it a black fist because Zendaya in this movie. And my thing is
in the movie?
Bruh, yes. Zendaya is on the main poster of this movie. And at the end of the day, as much money as this movie makes, her name will be attached to it. And as a black person attached to a highly successful movie. And gives her another franchise. Do I wish there was a black guy in this movie? 100%. But we got Zendaya. And I'm like, she's a lead. She's on the poster. What else y'all want, man? Come on,
man. Okay, wait. So you are telling me that Spider-Man Far From Home. You're saying that that helps the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood?
I think Zendaya being in this movie is more impactful than Zendaya being in Spider-Man Far From Home, because Spider-Man Far From Home, one, it's a Spider-Man movie, but also there's three or four other Spider-Men in it. Whereas in this movie, Zendaya, as we go with Braylock turns at the beginning, if this movie was nominated for an Oscar, Zendaya would be nominated. Like, she would be the best actress because she's like the next lead
after
the time.
What's the one when they go to Europe, though?
But she won't be nominated.
Far From Home. Yeah, you're right.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Her and Far From Home, that's one of my favorite Spider-Man movies, Far From Home.
Yeah.
So I think she's in that a lot too. I think that helps the cause because she was the love interest in that. And like, I do.
Okay. All right. I was legitimately asking. I wasn't teasing. I was asking.
Well, I gave it a white palm. Give it a white palm.
We're over here tired.
Because Zendaya, they did beef her role up, which is nice. But at the end of the day, she's still not the main lead. And also, my girl's been popular for quite some time now. And to Gerard's point, the one movie where she was like a real lead, she had to produce herself. So what's going on? Like, can Zendaya be the actual lead of a movie?
Challengers.
I know she's about to be, but that hasn't come out yet. And she's having sex with two white dudes. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care about that. But I'm just saying, it's like, hey, man, everybody knows who Zendaya is. She's one of the few people who she's got one name. She ain't got no last name.
That's real.
Zendaya. And everybody's like, I know who she is. And she ain't leading movies like that. I mean, I know she's in franchises, but come on now. You know what I mean? Lawrence was leading.
She about to be, baby.
Sort of to that point, like, you know, she's in this movie because she's Zendaya. Like, everyone in this movie is like an established, like, you had to be established in order to be, you know, cast in a major role in the Dune franchise. This movie hires, you know, famous actors to say two lines or no lines or whatever. And, you know, but yeah, that's why I gave it a palm for the same thing that Bray just said. They did beef up her role, which I was aware of. And it's cool, you know, it's cool to see black people in sci-fi to Gerard's point. So it helps the cause for me.
I get that. I respect that.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Now, before you go, just so you know, blackmanpodcast.com is our website. There you can find links to our Patreon and/or Red Circle. We have an exclusive content that we do every other week. It helps keep this podcast free. So it's $5 a month. If you like us, you want to hear more episodes, we got a bunch of episodes on there. We just reviewed Gran Turismo, a great film that's on Netflix. We've reviewed American Fiction. We did a 2023 year in review. You can go there, listen to that. It's $5 a month. You get bonus episodes every other week. There's already a back catalog. Also, if you are in Los Angeles and you like comedy, we are performing at the UCB Franklin Theater March 15th, 10 p.m., Friday, March 15th at 10 p.m. Tickets are $10. You can find a link to that at UCBtheater.com or through our website. And you can follow us on social media at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me at John Braylock on Instagram and Twitter, though honestly, I don't even know why I have a Twitter anymore. That's dead.
Yeah, it definitely died. It definitely died. So, you know, that's real.
What you guys got anything else you'd like to promote?
Nah.
I got nothing going on. So, if anybody wants to like hire me, listen, we know we got some directors.
If anybody wants to hire me,
we know we got famous directors and stuff out there who listen to this podcast. I ain't trying to name y'all, but y'all be following us on Twitter. Just hire a brother, okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, hire, cash your boy. You know,
her brother.
You know, rent is real. Okay, y'all don't want to see me out on Hollywood Boulevard being Spider-Man. Okay, I don't like it. James.
I would love to see a black Spider-Man. Actually, I would love that.
No, man, I don't like it. I don't like going out there being Miles because people always ask you to rap, and Miles don't even rap.
People always ask you to rap.
Miles don't fucking rap. All right, man. You bunch of racists.
We will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening. Peace.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!